Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. As we continue our current series with Dr. Neufeld, the greatest sermon ever preached, we will study the topic of giving and receiving grace. So let's begin in our text from the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 to 9. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's go back to the Bible with Dr. Neufeld.
Matthew 18:21 to 25 records Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant. There was a servant who had accumulated a debt against his master, a debt so large that it was the equivalent in today's world of perhaps $7 or $8 billion. What had he done to incur such a debt? Jesus never said, and it is a parable, and I suppose it doesn't matter. Perhaps he had poured endless money into a failing investment. Perhaps it was gambling at an unprecedented level. But whatever it was, the debt was astonishing. And of course, he had no ability to repay that debt, money that had come from the wealth of his master. You know, in the ancient world, this kind of a debt would mean that he and his wife and his children would be sold into a lifetime of slavery, no exceptions and no mercy. Let this be a lesson to anyone else who thinks he can get away with this kind of a thing. The result is not only personal ruin for the servant, the result is suffering for both he and his family as all are sold into slavery, perhaps even to cruel slave masters. Life will now be harsh and grim. His future has grown dark and hopeless. In desperation, facing the consequences of ruin, he fell at the feet of his master, pleading for mercy. He lost all dignity. And the chance that this approach would succeed must have been next to nothing. But it was all he could do. And then amazingly and unexpectedly, in an act of unprecedented mercy, the master didn't put him on a payment plan, but released him from all indebtedness. In an instant, his servant walked away from personal ruin into the sunlit world of grace. It was astonishing mercy, to say the least. No sooner had the servant been released from his personal catastrophe than he went out and found a man who owed him, let's say, the equivalent of $20,000. That's a significant amount, to be sure, but it is insignificant against the greater mercy that had been afforded to him this very same day. But this unmerciful servant grabbed his fellow colleague by the neck and demanded he repay it all. And when the fellow servant pleaded for mercy, he found none. He was thrown into a debtor's prison. When the master heard what had transpired, for the word got out, he called in the servant whom had been forgiven. And the master's very first words were, "You wicked servant." Now I know there are some who hear this and might even say, "You know, why is he wicked? Is it wicked to demand from a man what is owed? Didn't this man owe him $20,000? Doesn't he have the right to require the repayment? I mean, after all, just because your debt has been forgiven, does that mandate that you must forgive the other?" Well, apparently Jesus thought so. His parable ends with a master throwing the unmerciful servant into prison, and then Jesus said, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart." See, once you have received mercy, you are now in an obligation. Mercy received means we are obligated to a life in which we extend mercy to others. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he begins with a series of beatitudes that leaves the hearers under no illusions. Every citizen of his kingdom got there because of the mercy of the king. After all, the citizens of Christ's kingdom were overwhelmingly aware of their own spiritual poverty. They had in the end nothing to contribute to Christ's eternal kingdom. If Christ was announcing the coming of his kingdom, which would eventually triumph over all the kingdoms of this world, then who was worthy of inheriting such a kingdom? And the answer is none. Indeed, those invited into Christ's kingdom were all, without exception, overwhelmed by their own spiritual poverty. And so the only way anyone ever entered into the kingdom of heaven was on the basis of mercy, which was more than the equivalent of having a personal indebtedness of billions being forgiven. And with that, we move forward. I'm reading Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let's remember that, as we have noticed, none of the Beatitudes describe how we got into the kingdom, but rather the reality of those who are in the kingdom. Those in the kingdom are merciful. And in the end, when the day of judgment arrives, when God will judge every human being for their sin, they will receive mercy. Mercy means at least two things. First, mercy is compassion and love for people who are suffering and needy. Now, I know in our world, in which suffering is constantly being portrayed in the media from every part of the globe, from famines to wars to acts of crime and violence to people who live in abject poverty, the amount of information that all of us have surely makes even the most compassionate individual feel overwhelmed and desensitized. I mean, how am I to be merciful? But do you remember Jesus' account of the Good Samaritan? The entire telling of that parable came about as a question Jesus was asked. Who is my neighbor? Who am I accountable to? And the answer, according to Jesus, had everything to do with a traveler who came across a suffering individual. I remember a number of years ago, it was Sunday evening in late October, and Kathy and I were rushing out of our driveway in the car, and I had an evening service to lead, and it was already late. The sun had just set, and it was dusk. The weather was quite crisp and cool. I started down the road, and then suddenly I put on my brakes and pulled over. I had seen something across the road from my house, but I had paid no attention. After all, I was in a hurry, but it seemed as if the Holy Spirit was sternly speaking to me. Didn't you see that? Well, I guess I had, but who has the time to deal with everyone's problems? Well, I had to turn around. There across from our house was an elderly Asian woman sitting on the sidewalk. She had on a dress, and it was cold on the concrete sidewalk where she sat, and she appeared to be crying. She spoke no English, but I could see that she was Korean. And Kathy and I took her to the home of a Korean couple where we heard her story. She had come to visit her children who had immigrated to Canada, and since it was a lovely day, she had decided to go for a walk and had become completely lost. Because she didn't know the way to go home and because she couldn't speak the language, she couldn't get home. And now the sun had set and she was about to spend the night in a foreign land on a cold sidewalk. And she had just sat down to weep when I went flying by on the way to church. I'm still so thankful the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I know this. The Lutheran scholar Richard Lenski said that the mercy spoken of in this parable grows out of the personal experience of the mercy of God. It is to live on a daily basis, always aware of the fact that mercy has been received, and therefore I am indebted to others. It might be, as I think, one is better served in giving to an organization like Compassion Canada than giving directly to needy people. But I also know that compassion does not end when I give to an organization. I will suddenly realize that I have a neighbor, as I did that day with an elderly woman sitting on a cold sidewalk across from my house. Now, mercy means at least two things. It does mean we show compassion for the suffering and the needy, but it also means forgiveness for those who are guilty. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "To have a merciful spirit means the spirit that is displayed when you suddenly find yourself in the position of having in your power someone who has transgressed against you." See, every one of us has a list of people who has sinned against us. And we know that Christ demands that we forgive our enemies. Now, I know forgiveness and reconciliation are two different matters. See, reconciliation demands that the transgressor repents, but forgiveness makes no such demands. And there's more. Forgiveness in many ways blesses the person who forgives. It means we release all bitterness and we release all demands to exact revenge, even when the other will not repent. Yes, reconciliation is not possible when the other does not repent, but forgiveness can be freely given. And here's the test. If it should ever come about that we have the opportunity to settle the score with the one who has wounded us, we have decided in advance that we will forgo the opportunity. See, did you notice the difference between this and the strict demands of justice? A merciful man or woman can demand justice when it affects others, for then they are being merciful to the victims. Not to protect victims is showing also a lack of concern or even a lack of mercy. We are called upon to be workers of righteousness and of justice. But when it comes to ourselves, and that was the whole point when Jesus said that the meek are blessed. When it comes to ourselves, we become meek. Mercy is given where none is deserved. More when we come back.
Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5 verse 7 challenge us to learn how to be merciful as his followers, extending compassion, grace, and forgiveness to those who need it the most. The Lord demands this quality from us in our everyday lives as proof that we have been shown mercy through the example of Christ himself. Join us tomorrow as we continue to look at what Jesus taught about the pure in heart and the peacemakers. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched a brand new website which offers all of our Bible teaching resources, including the on-air messages of Dr. John Neufeld, news about the ministry, our Bible teaching correspondent courses, an opportunity to receive our bi-monthly magazine Confident Living, and a way to support the ministry of Back to the Bible. With the new website, there is never a reason to miss another Bible teaching message from Dr. John Neufeld. And you can order every program that you hear or complete Bible teaching series on CD. So why not visit backtothebible.in today? That is backtothebible.in. Or for more information, call us at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.